This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Oh, good morning.
There we go.
Did you get sleep last night, Maris, or were you actually kind of staying awake thinking about that we're going to talk to you about this?
I was absolutely restless all night thinking about sleeplessness. Knowing that I had this appointment booked first thing this morning.
Yes, of course. Look, tell us from a psychological vantage point, I guess, about sleeplessness and how the mind can kind of add to that.
Well, I guess it's no surprise that what worries us during the day often has the opportunity to be magnified at night when we're not actually doing anything else, when there's nothing to distract us, when we are trying to get to that restful place. And also, I guess, nighttime is also stuck between, in a way, stuck between the past and the future. So what we're actually worried about in the coming days, and in particular the next day, is also tends to play itself out in this period when we're actually trying to gear ourselves to rest. And I like what you kind of talked about there, Aaron, that, you know, you can sometimes be quite aware of the fact that you're not asleep, and that can actually add another level to people's issues with trying to get to sleep. And that's one of the most important things is often we can be kind of trying to get ourselves into a restful place. And if we become aware of the fact that we're not resting or we're not getting to sleep, then we often become frustrated. And interestingly, that actually has the tendency to take us further away from sleep, because frustration is a stress-based state.
It's too true.
So it actually amps us up. And the other thing that can actually happen is the more frustrated, the more worried, the more determined we are to get to sleep, the more effort we're driving into it. Not only are we taking ourselves closer to an actual awake state, but our thinking can actually become a little bit more catastrophic. And so it can be, well, you know, if I don't get to sleep now, well, then this will be the outcome. And they're often not that nice. And that, again, can produce a lot of anxiety for us and take us further from sleep. So if I'm worried about not performing in my job the next day, what that's going to mean for me. Not playing well. A lot of athletes have pre-game kind of restlessness the night before. A lot of people, you know, if they've got an exam or something the coming day, then when that's going through their head, they start to associate the lack of sleep with then failing the exam. Of course, anxiety goes through the roof then. It makes it more and more difficult to kind of get to sleep. So one thing that everyone can kind of do if they are able to catch themselves adding that extra layer to that is kind of arrest that and stop that as quick as possible. And the suggested bit of information is that actually if you are having difficulty getting to sleep and you notice that you've tried for 15 or 20 minutes and you're unable to, sometimes the best thing to do is actually to get up and go and engage in a different activity and just allow yourself to reconnect with your body's rest cycle.
All right. Say, play a bit of devil's advocate here. Say you can't actually get up. Like for me, like I'd just be disturbing my husband if I decided to switch on the TV or turn the lights on and all that kind of thing. So say you're kind of stuck in bed. Is there a way to kind of get yourself out of that cycle? Like what if you then switch kind of, I guess, anxious thoughts into positive thoughts? Would that actually help a bit?
So there is a couple of things that you can do even if you're still laying in bed and everything else. But I think it's great that you've brought the TV and the bright lights into the room, because they're actually they're often things that people do, but again, they're actually some of the suggested things that people shouldn't do, because TV is quite a stimulating thing. So again, it works against the rest. For a lot of people, it works against the natural rest cycle. So turning on the TV to try and relax, particularly if you're trying to get to sleep, actually stimulates your brain.
Okay.
And bright lights also mimic daylight as well. They send a signal to your brain that it's time to be awake. So even if you do happen to get up, some of the activities that are best are less than stimulating ones. So reading, trying to turn as few lights on as you can, you know. And I often think that things like, you know, a really quick, you know, hot shower or even a longer hot bath are the sort of things that can actually help to you know, just relax you a little bit further and then give you the best chance to get back to sleep. If you can't get up and do some of those things, some of the other, you know, cognitive strategies and things that you can do just mentally are, you know, practicing and a lot of the time, the work that we do during the day gives us our best hope of being able to practice this at night. So if I've been able to practice this before I go to sleep or you know, at least learn the habits during the day, then I can practice them when I need them. And practicing things like, you know, progressive muscle relaxation, so focusing on parts of the body and tensioning them and then releasing them and actually feeling that release and reorienting back to relaxfulness and the present is something that kind of takes that mental energy away from anxiety. Focusing on your breathing and doing some breathing exercises it can also be a really, really helpful thing because as our body's geared towards sleep, our breathing actually slows down. So if we can consciously focus on that breathing and do some nice deep breathing exercises, we're actually getting into that kind of restful state, giving ourselves the best opportunity. And sometimes, you know, people find, you know, little mind games that they can play with themselves around, you know, visually putting the worrying thoughts into a file and putting them in the filing cabinet and leaving them there. And that helps them to kind of lock off some of those things from the day.
That's interesting.
Even the notepad next to the bed is a similar kind of, you know.
I can't
imagine putting
People find that that's really, really helpful as well. If they have something that's really, really worrying them, they just commit to writing that thing down. And then, you know, that's it. That's all they need to do. And for a lot of people, that works really well. For some people, it actually opens up a Pandora's box and they get stimulated again. And again, this is all highly, highly individual, and what works for some people may not work for others. But there are some general things that can work. And so this is what we're talking about.
I love the idea of visualizing an actual filing cabinet in your brain and putting it in there. I'm actually imagining like an orange retro one from the 70s, like a really ugly one. Just pop in.
You're sorted.
And then locking it, get the key, and then lose the key. It's gone, can't get back in.
You know, and again, even that process changes the cognitions a little bit, and so it takes energy away from those anxious thoughts. And any visualizations are really good for that as well, because they take a lot of effort for your brain to do that, and that can actually be tiring in and of itself.
Very interesting.
I
love the
70s
filing cabinet.
Yeah.
On a shag pile rug, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.